Welcome to this Intermediate Ableton Live 12 lesson on the future Jungle Chop Carve method with Jungle Swing. In this one, we're not just chopping a break and hoping it bounces. We're going to make the break and the bass line actually talk to each other. That's the real move. Future Jungle lives in that zone where classic amen energy, modern drum and bass pressure, and a slightly raw, unstable groove all collide. It should feel urgent, broken, and full of motion, but still controlled enough to hit like a proper drop. The goal here is to build a two-bar loop that feels like it could sit inside an intro-to-drop transition, a dark roller, or a second drop switch-up. We're going to use Jungle Swing as the rhythmic backbone, then carve space so the sub stays clean and the drums keep their punch. Think of it like this. The snare is your anchor. The ghost notes are your movement, and the bass is the thing answering back in the gaps. Let's start with the source break. Load a break with character. Amen. Think. Or any dusty jungle-style loop with strong ghost hits is perfect. If the sample is clean, that's fine, but it needs enough micro-movement to feel alive once we start editing. In Ableton, warp it carefully so the main hits stay tight. For a transient heavy break, use Beats Warp Mode. Keep the warp behavior focused on preserving the attack, and if the loop drifts, tighten it up before you do any serious chopping. The first teacher tip here is simple. Don't overcook the warping. If the break starts sounding too edited before you even begin, you'll lose the natural swing that gives this style its personality. Now we want to extract the groove, not flatten it. Open the groove pool and test a few swing templates, but keep it subtle. We're not trying to force a generic shuffle onto the break. A little timing movement goes a long way here. Start with a light timing amount, maybe around 10 to 20%, and keep random very low. Apply it to the break and listen carefully to the snare. The snare should still feel like the center of gravity. If the snare stops feeling solid, back off. And honestly, if the source already has that jungle sway built in, you may not need much groove at all. Sometimes the best move is a tiny nudge, not a heavy preset. Jungle swing is really about contrast. The main hits stay confident while the ghost notes and hats lean slightly behind or ahead. That's what creates that broken but driving feel. Now let's make the break playable. Slice the break to a new MIDI track. For this kind of workflow, transient slicing is usually the fastest way to get usable results. You can let Ableton build a drum rack, which is great because it makes the chop-carve process really hands-on. Once the slices are in place, build a two-bar MIDI pattern from the best pieces of the break. You do not need every slice. Actually, one of the biggest mistakes people make in this style is trying to fill every space. Future jungle hits harder when it leaves room, so choose a main kick fragment, the core snare, a few ghost hits, and maybe one or two top-end accents like a hat tick or rim fragment. That's enough to create motion without turning the loop into a mess. Here's the mental model I want you to use. Think in layers, not just hits. You've got the anchor layer, which is the snare and core drum pulse. You've got the moving layer, which is your ghost notes and little chop to tails. And then you've got the answer space, the gaps where the bass gets to speak. If one layer is doing too much, split its job into another sound. That's how you keep the groove readable. Now we get into the heart of the method, chop carve. This means placing break hits so they carve out space for each other and for the bass line. It's a conversation. The snare is your reference point, so keep coming back to it while you edit. Put the snare on the strong backbeat and use it as the anchor. Then add kick fragments before or after it to create push. Use ghost notes in late 16ths for shuffle and movement. And leave at least one clean pocket before the bass phrase lands. A simple way to think about the pattern is this. A low hit or kick fragment on the downbeat. A snare anchor on beat 2 or 4. A ghost hit tucked just before the next major accent. And then a chopped fill that opens into the next bar. That opens into the next bar part matters. The carve method is not just about where the notes are, it's about what they remove. If a chopped kick has too much low-end tail and it starts fighting the sub, shorten it or swap it for a higher frequency fragment. The drums should sound aggressive, but not bulky where the bass needs room. Use velocity as part of the groove before you reach for more processing. Strong hits can sit up around 100 to 127. While ghost hits can live much lower, around 35 to 75. That contrast is part of what makes the break feel human. A live groove comes from dynamic difference, not from more devices. Now let's shape the timing. Jungle Swing is not only a groove preset, it's also tiny manual nudges. Pull some of the ghost hits a little late, maybe 5 to 15 milliseconds. Keep the main snare close to the grid, maybe only slightly late if the whole loop needs more drag. And if you've got little hat fragments or top ticks, you can push one or two of them slightly early, maybe 3 to 8 milliseconds, just to create a bit of urgency. This creates a really important kind of contrast, a solid center with loose edges. That's the identity of the style. If everything swings equally, the beat loses its shape, but if the snare stays confident and the details around it move, the groove suddenly feels alive. Now let's process the drums. On the drum group, start with EQ8. Clean up any unnecessary rumble, but don't thin it out too much. You want the break to stay full enough to feel powerful. Then add drum bus for a little drive and smack. Keep it tasteful. You're looking for weight, not destruction. A little crunch, a little drive, and keep boom low or off if the kick tail is stepping on the sub. Then use saturator for some mid-range thickness and soft clipping. This can be really helpful for making chop transients feel firmer. After that, glue compressor can give you just enough glue to make the edited hits feel like one performance. You do not need heavy compression here. 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on peaks is often plenty. If the overheads or top chops feel too wide, use utility to tighten the stereo image where needed. Now carve around the bass. This is where the method really earns the name. The drums and bass can live in the same emotional space, but they cannot occupy the same frequency lane. If the drum bus is cluttering the sub-region, make a gentle cut there. If a snare ring is poking out in a nasty way, notch it instead of flattening the whole loop. If your hats are too sharp, a small dip around the top end can calm things down without killing energy. On the bass side, keep the sub mono and stable. If you're using operator, a clean sub is ideal. If you're using wave-eatable or a Reese layer, split the sub and the mid layers so the sub stays centered and the harmonics can live higher up. High pass any unnecessary mids if the design allows it. The main thing is that the bass should feel big without clogging the drum movement. And here's the key arrangement mindset. Bass should answer the break, not fight it. Write a simple bass pattern with a few clear phrases. Leave space after snare hits. Don't stack the bass right on top of the busiest chop moments if you can help it. Give the drums room to breathe. In many future jungle loops, the first couple of bars are relatively sparse, and then the bass density increases later. That makes the drop feel like it's evolving instead of maxing out immediately. Now let's add a little more character through resampling. Create an audio track and resample the drum bus or a few selected chops. This is a great way to turn the loop into material you can re-edit. Take that resampled audio and cut it into micro fills, a reversed pickup, a stuttered snare, or a tiny atmosphere tail between phrases. This is the stuff that makes the loop feel arranged rather than just repeated. For processing, you can use auto filter for sweeps, redux very lightly if you want grit, echo for short throws, and reverb with a short decay if you want a darker jungle space. The important part is restraint. Future jungle gets its vibe from edited texture, not from washing everything in ambience. A couple of well-placed details do more than a giant effect chain ever will. Now we're ready to turn the 2-bar idea into a real section. Map it into a 16-bar structure. Keep the first 4 bars relatively stable so the listener locks in. In bars 5 through 8, add a little more ghost activity or a bass variation. In bars 9 through 12, strip the bass for a bar or reduce the density, then bring it back with a fill. In bars 13 through 16, create a switch up or a more aggressive ending. Use automation to keep the momentum alive. Filter cutoff on the break works really well for tension. Echo send throws can create those little moments of lift at the end of phrases. Bass filter or wave-eatable motion can add progression without changing the core groove. And a tiny mute or drop in the kick before a switch up can make the next hit feel much heavier. That little reset moment is huge in this style. Sometimes removing one element for a beat or a bar creates more impact than adding another fill. Before you finish, check the mix like a drum and bass engineer, not just a loop maker. Turn the whole thing down and see if the groove still reads. Mono check the low end. Make sure the sub isn't getting swallowed by chop drum tails. Listen to the snare transients and make sure they cut without turning into clicks. And if you have a reference track, compare the drum density and bass placement. The goal is not to clone another tune. It's to make sure your loop has the right kind of balance and movement. If it feels exciting at low volume, that's a very good sign. If it only feels good when it's loud, chances are the balance still needs work. Let's quickly cover the common traps. Don't overswing everything. Keep the main snare steady and let the ghost notes and hats carry most of the movement. Don't use too many chops. If the pattern starts feeling crowded, remove 20 to 30% of the notes. Don't let chopped kicks fight the sub. Shorten tails, use echo, and give the low end space. Don't crush the drum bus too hard. A little glue goes further than overprocessing. And to make sure the bass line actually answers the break instead of just doing its own thing. A few pro moves can take this darker if you want more weight. Try a quiet Reese layer under the base, high past so it doesn't fight the sub. Use parallel crunch on a return track instead of destroying your main drums. Add a filtered room reverb to one or two snare ghosts for eerie space. Use auto filter on just the top loop if you want motion without making the whole drum bus swim. And if you want the tune to feel more brutal, leave a short moment of silence or near silence before the drop returns. That empty space makes the hit after it feel enormous.